You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. While so many of us have not been able to physically be in church, perhaps that passage today is an enormous comfort to us, because I know many have felt like aliens from things, having to social distance at home and not being able to gather here for worship. But that day is coming very, very soon. This portion from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is a story about building barriers and taking them down. We build all kinds of barriers, don't we, around us? And sometimes we confuse and we tarnish our histories. We hurt one another by adding barrier upon barrier upon barrier. We see that facing our nation right now. In the Ephesian church, a set of barriers had been erected, and they needed to be removed before the new community of Christ followers could get on with their work. In the first century of the church's life, one of the biggest arguments that raged, and a thing that Paul had real difficulty with, was the conviction that the new group of Christians was really just another sect of Judaism that had to follow all the rules and regulations that went with it. So if you were to be a follower of Jesus, you had to sign on to Judaism first. Since Christianity was spreading quickly in the Mediterranean area, this became a source of concern to converts. Now they had to take on perhaps two religions, just as they were coming to terms with leaving the comfort of their pagan past. Paul, and no doubt many others, struggled with this. In this passage, he reminds the new church that at the beginning, they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. A very sad indictment indeed. Then Paul goes on to tell how the coming of Christ was the thing that broke down the dividing walls that those people had set up, even the dividing walls of religion, which are often higher and stronger than most. He reconciled the opposing factions in the cross of Christ. The function of the new church was to proclaim that reality in everyday life. It finally began to happen in Paul's lifetime, but not without struggle. In the end, the church could say, "We are no longer strangers and aliens. We are fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household, the family of God, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Notice he uses the picture of a building to illustrate this. He thinks of every member of a community or congregation as a stone constructed into the very fabric of the building, which is the physical manifestation of the church. Of the whole church, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, or put in another way, the keystone, which is the stone that keeps an arch from falling, just as the cornerstone was the one stone that set the square of the building. Without a cornerstone, a building would not be built accurately. Without a keystone, the whole thing could collapse. Jesus is that crucial central stone, both then and now. And so it is that you and I are part of that great building called the church. Each part of the building is fitted into Christ and upheld by him. Think for a moment of some of those magnificent old cathedrals. Our choir has had the privilege of visiting 5 of them in Britain just in my time here, and in years before, many, many others. Down among the foundations, one is likely to find a Saxon crypt. In some areas, there will be rounded Norman arches. In others, a Gothic nave with pointed arches. Some parts of those extraordinary buildings have been added to and modified in the modern era. The amazing thing is that with all the variations of architecture, with all the different styles and influences of all kinds, all that from people of down through the ages, there remains an organic whole to these buildings. They have a unity of purpose because they have been used in most cases continually for the worship of God and for meeting Jesus Christ. Many of the builders and founders are now unknown, yet their legacy of craftsmanship, of bravery, and of faith remains. Now think for a moment of this church, a coming together of different communities whose purpose was the same, and now dedicated both to St. Peter and St. Simon the Apostles. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of people whose lives have been touched in some way by their contact with the community of faith that has been here in Toronto since its earliest days. You know, for some, it has been a short stay. For others, it was to live out their whole life here. For some, it was to stand on the fringes of the parish and perhaps to visit at Christmas or Easter, or maybe for the occasional wedding, baptism, or funeral. For others, it was to come for a community meeting, a musical event, a meal, a place to seek shelter. For others, still, it was to become part and parcel of the whole life of the parish, working with their hearts out on committees, fixing the building, raising money, singing in the choir, and becoming perhaps very exercised when things haven't gone very well. But here is the most important point. For all, even for those connected on the margins over the years, there was a contribution, a stone or two, for the building of the body of Christ in this place, even in the very difficult moments of parish life which inevitably come our way. And you know, it matters little in the long run if our accomplishments are inscribed on the wall. It matters much that we are loved enough, counted worthy enough to be called friends of God, servants, apostles of the Lord, fellow citizens with the saints. In every generation, there are people of all ages called to be witnesses of Christ in their own place, in their own way, and in their own time. They are part of the building of the church, which Paul speaks about in this letter to the Ephesians. That continues in each of us who are privileged to be here at this difficult time and tasked with the responsibility of being its stewards for generations to come. There is a Latin phrase which catches the point. Ubi Christus, ibi Ecclesia. Where Christ is, there is the church. You see, Christ must ultimately be in the heart of each one of us. By our baptism, we belong in the church. Doesn't that say it much better than belonging to the church? for that implies some kind of club with a roster of members. One friend reminds me that in the parish where he served many years ago, congregants were identified as giving units. That might be handy for the stewardship list, but it's not really much help to make people feel members of the community. Belonging in the church is so much more. It means each of us has a place in the family of God, the place where we all belong in and through Jesus Christ. And that sense of belonging is hugely important. We know that now more than ever before. It builds relationship, and it does actually something else too. Perhaps it removes the sting from those who would use their church membership to get their own way. Being one of the stones connected to all the others suggests that there is a mutual dependency, a connectedness that transcends any membership list, making each of us a key part of the whole picture. Yes, there is considerable anxiety about the future of the church, especially as we move to a new kind of normal coming through COVID. But you know, I also feel a great sense of hope. It is perhaps tempting to see this as a time to try new things, to be experimental, to be the church in a whole new way. And don't get me wrong, it is important to try new things, but I think we have been served well by staying the course. It is crucial we keep our focus, lest we make ourselves strangers and aliens from the one who is the reason we are here. We must always remember the foundation stone, or else the whole thing does run the risk of tumbling down. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, and he says the same to us at every Eucharist, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering is not just a recollection of a past event. Remembering, in its fullest sense, from the Greek word anamnesis, means to make present. Belonging in the church brings the Lord very, very near to us. And Paul goes on to say, "When you eat this bread and when you drink this cup, you remember the Lord's death until he comes." The Lord's death, that thing which made them and us no longer strangers and aliens, but members of the household of God. He will come again. That is the promise of the scriptures, which is picked up in every Eucharistic celebration. In fact, his death and resurrection are remembered in you and in me. The foundation of our life is Christ Jesus. He is the cornerstone, the keystone of it all. You and I, we are some of the stones of this beautiful place, the temple of the Lord. Through that temple, we are enabled to remember who we really are and whose we really are, so that we may become the dwelling place of God through the work of the Holy Spirit in this place called Toronto at this time, and by God's grace unto the ages of ages. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.